mask to avoid exposure to any avian diseases. Use a stiff brush or scraping tool to further clean the interior. Some people opt to disinfect the box with hot soapy water or even a mild bleach solution. A grubby bit of work, perhaps, but you'll be glad when next spring, those avian gems, like the eastern bluebirds, grace your landscape once again. See a video about how to clean a nest box when you come to our website, birdnote.org. That's birdnote.org. Never miss an episode of Bird Note by subscribing to our podcast. Just search for Bird Note in your podcast app.
You're listening to the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. We're broadcast from the unceded ancestral territory of the Coast Salish people. You can find us online at cjsf.ca, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can find the Vancouver Mixtape, those same places, and on Apple Podcasts and Google Play and all those places. I am Jesse.
I'm Jamie.
And we are joined in the studio by Wesley David Scott. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm so stoked to be here.
We are so happy to have you here. Wes is going to play some songs for us. We're going to talk about his project Zulu Panda and a whole bunch of other stuff. So we're going to get started with a track by Wes, by Zulu Panda, called When I Get Home. And that will play as soon as I have it pulled up. Jamie, is it on the tablet that you handed me?
It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube. Yeah.
So just to give you a big run around here, I am a singer-songwriter. I've just been on tour for 2 months, and I'm putting out a new album. The album comes out on November 15th, and I will be showcasing it live at Our Town Cafe at Main and Broadway on November 15th, and I hope you can join us.
Jamie, that's in our neck of the woods.
It's right in our neck of the woods. I've seen you perform a couple of times.
Yeah.
And you put on a very charismatic show.
Yeah.
So I'd say it's certainly endorsed. Looking forward to that one. Now, the song that we're about to play, we're just queuing it up right now. Is that going to be on the new album?
It is. It is track, it's track number one.
There you go. Yeah. All right, this is When I Get Home by Zulu Panda. And you're listening to it on the Vancouver Mixtape.
Just start drinking. When I get home, I can't stop thinking about every mistake I made since the fourth grade and all the mistakes yet to be made. Doesn't really matter, I feel them all the same, yeah. When I get home, caught on fire, burning away while I get higher. Just a matter of time before everything falls, but at least I'll have the best.
go.
What do we got?
We're back on the Vancouver Mixtape, guest curated by Zulu Panda. That was Feel Slow by Hello Victim, a band that neither Jamie or myself had heard of. So congrats, Wes, on...
Yeah, I gotta stump you once in a while.
Yeah.
These guys are really cool, man. Yeah.
You said that's a brand new single that they just dropped, yeah.
Yeah, that's a new music video they put out, and they've got a new single on the way as well. Yeah.
Speaking of music videos, first song we heard today was the When I Get Home.
Yeah, man.
Which is your latest. Is that your latest? Oh, I guess you just came back from making one.
Yeah, so basically I finished an album, went on tour for 2 months, and now I'm putting it out. And it's the album is called Sad Bastard Music. And it's kind of this play on the traditional singer-songwriter role where I explore different genres and, you know, try to have fun with my music and not be such a sad bastard about it. So I explore punk, I explore EDM, I explore disco, I explore country, but most of it is rock and folk and that typical grunge folk sound that I embrace on a regular basis.
Yeah, and that song is, I don't know, right away you can kind of tell that there's a bit of, there's a few things going on with it.
Yeah.
Like you've got the rock guitars in it, and it's got also some strings in it, if I heard that right,
yeah,
too. So
yeah.
It's not just like a straight-ahead rock song. You've got some layers going on to it, which is pretty cool. But you were talking a little bit about because we were playing that the video for it, and you said you guys were just in a cabin and you got all bored and decided to make something.
Yeah, so when you're on tour, you get lots of downtime, and sometimes you get days off. Not very often, but we were in a retro cabin in Thunder Bay, and we got put up right next to the water, and it was absolutely beautiful, but at night it was dark, and there was not much to do in this area, and so we just decided to turn on all the lights and dress up in some funky clothes and film the music video. So if you check it out, it's on YouTube, Zulu Panda, When I Get Home.
And you're wearing, because it's a double of you.
Yeah.
And you're wearing two absolutely gorgeous Star Wars suits.
Yeah. Right out of Don Cherry's wardrobe.
Absolutely. Yeah. He was a little bit more of a sci-fi nerd for sure. Now,
Can you imagine Don Cherry watching a Star Wars movie?
Absolutely not.
I'm narrating it, yeah.
But like those suits are like, it wasn't that you integrated that into your stage show too?
Yeah, man. So I have a Millennium Falcon shaped guitar, and if that sounds weird, it's because it is. I took the original Kenner toy, the 1977 toy, and put it around a piece of alder wood, connected it from a neck from a Flying V from the mid 80s, and built this guitar with a friend in Victoria. And I felt it needed something to improve its attention span, so
some extra context.
Yeah, maybe. And so I have an R2-D2 theme suit and a Star Wars theme suit, and I also have a gold suit as well. And you know, I'm an entertainer. I might as well entertain people, right? That's a big thing.
Absolutely.
Well, it's not only a Millennium Falcon guitar. It's like it's a Frankenstein guitar,
as you said.
It's cobbled together from various things, and like it's the fact that it's not just Millennium Falcon shaped, but that it's actually the toy. Like,
yeah.
That it's actually this tangible piece of nostalgia. I love it.
Yeah,
great.
Me too, man.
Well, it's interesting because it could absolutely, you could have just like made it and it could have been just like a silly thing that you keep in your room and people will come into your house and be like, oh, that's cool, that's wild, does it work? Oh yeah, it works. But like you, it's like a usable, like workable guitar that you play your songs with.
It took about a year to put together because it was so finicky, and then once my friend and I had completed it, he did most of the work, I'll admit it, his name is Stuart McClellan, and when we finished it, it was very fragile. And so I took it out on tour, I took it on stage, and it was always having problems with intonation or tuning. And there was one point where like the quarter inch jack just wouldn't stay in. Oof. And so I took it to a proper luthier in Vancouver and fixed it right up. And now it plays better than any guitar I own. So
what was their initial reaction when they saw the guitar?
Excitement.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, they weren't even a Star Wars fan, but the fact that it was a Frankenstein, they just lit
like,
up.
Ooh.
Yeah. They're like, this
challenge.
Is a challenge.
Excellent. Yeah.
Now it's interesting that is a fusion toy guitar, and then we're talking kind of a bit of fusion in your music.
Yeah.
What are your personal influences, whether they're I guess musical or I don't know, Star Wars related or like other media or anything like that? What is inspiring you making the music that you make?
You know, man, I just try to keep things interesting. I don't want to be another just folksy white guy. I want to keep it interesting. And so what I do is I try to challenge myself with different ideas and take from different sources and challenge myself with new material. So I did I dived in and did studio records, and then I dived in and did a studio record with my band, and then I did this Cross Canada album where I went to every province and territory and recorded a different song with a different producer, coast to coast to coast. And then so with this one, I was like, I don't want to produce the same record over and over again. I'm going to just put it on its head and, you know, do what I want and try to challenge people's ears, challenge my performing abilities, and put out something that's really of quality. And so I feel that this record, you know, that does that. You know, when I perform, I like to be confident. I like to be energetic. I try to, you know, I've got that kind of Canadiana vibe that I put out there. But, you know, everyone from AC Newman to Tragically Hip to Wilco, you know, Tegan and Sarah, their older stuff, and you know, that kind of Springsteen, Bob Seger vibe. I throw all that in there. A lot of people compared my music to The National.
We've got that baritone where you bring it way down. And I mean, if there's ever like the kings of sad bastard music, it would be the National.
There you go.
I do want to dig a little bit more into the 12 Canadian love letters.
13.
Love letters. 13. Ah, so close. But I think first we should do our next song.
Yeah, so Sky Wallace is badass, and she's on tour right now with Matt Mays, and she's from Gibson's originally, but lived in Vancouver for a long time, now in Toronto. This is Coal in Your Window.
to the Lonesome by Robert Connolly Farr and the Rebel Tone Boys. Another one of Wes's selections here on the Zulu Panda guest curated episode of the Vancouver Mixtape. Welcome back.
Yeah. Connolly's a great guy. He brings the Mississippi to Vancouver. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. I love the sort of like haunting organ in the background. Just wailing away, kind of muted and like it's real way far away.
Yeah.
Spooky.
He went back down to Mississippi and went down to the Blue Front Cafe and he learned how to play the blues for sure. Yeah.
And before that, we had Sky Wallace, Coal in Your Window. We talked about that ahead of time. We did not give you, the listener, fair warning as to how much that song was going to rip. So sorry for the guitar riff just stuck in your head for the rest of the day. But, there's not that many hours left, so you'll survive. And there are worse fates than having a ripping guitar riff stuck in your head.
This is true.
Yeah. Before the break, I said I wanted to dig into the album 13 Canadian Love Letters. And what I mean, like, first of all, the concept for the project is great. Like, the idea of going, as you said, to record a song in every province and territory with a different producer and really sort of connect to the local in that way. Yeah. But I also think that it gives you an interesting, maybe unique perspective on music around Canada compared to music here in the city, and I thought, or in Vancouver, and I thought maybe, like, did doing that give you, like, what did that reveal to you about music in Vancouver, or making music here in Vancouver?
Oh, man. Well, I, you know, participated with a lot of different producers of a lot of different calibers. There were some studios I went into that were real pro and real expensive, and other ones that were just somebody's bedroom, and it was an interesting thing. But the biggest thing is that everybody, you know, everyone is hurting in terms of music nowadays. The nature of music is changing, but people are really fond of their own communities and want to promote their own local artists and want to work and develop their own resources. And so you have people who take utter pride in the artists that they've brought into their studios and the fact that they have a studio. And, you know, local music across the board, you know, it's very passionate and, you know, it's a very similar scene but different scene everywhere you go. So I don't know if that answers your question exactly, but...
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, it makes sense to know that, you know, everywhere has their own local scene. And everybody, you know, everyone... It's crazy. I have a friend who I went to high school with who, he went to elementary school and junior high in Flin Flon, Manitoba, and then moved out to Canmore and did high school there and then has moved around and went back to Flin Flon for a bit. And he ended up, he's probably the best musician, like most innately talented musician I have ever met. He can just pick up whatever and make something out of it. And he has never been as busy as when he moved back to Flin Flon because so many people wanted a like competent bassist, or so many people wanted someone who could fill in, and he ended up playing bass for the town production of Grease.
Oh, wow.
And so it's interesting, and it's easy for us to forget being here in the big urban metropolis that is seen as one of the sort of music centers of the country, that the hubs exist all across the country.
Yeah, I mean, there is a difference in vibe a little bit. So, like, in Alberta, it's a little more about the party. Mm-hmm. And on the East Coast, it's definitely about the party. in, you know, places like Toronto, it's about the hustle, you know. And so there's a quality that you have to maintain. In places like Winnipeg, there's so much woodshedding that goes on. You have these amazingly talented people who spend their whole winters like grinding away at their talent, and then will just blow you away with these performances and in the folk scene and stuff. And then up north too, there's just a great community of people who jam and people who, you know, woodshed and just work as hard as they can on their music. And, you know, and there's a lot of great Indigenous performers I got to meet and work with, and producers as well. And you know, that the quality of the music that's coming out, for instance, in Iqaluit, it blew my mind.
And we don't hear about it because it's all the way up there. Right?
Oh yeah, and even, you know, everywhere you go, there's at least someone of quality. I mean, It's a really cool country for music. I wish we could promote Canadian music more accurately or effectively. You know, the one thing we notice is when we're driving in the car, in order to fill that Canadian content, you're going to hear either Metric, Tragically Hip, or
Rush.
Yeah, Rush. Load Me Up by Matthew Good. It's on all the friggin' time. Yeah. That song came out in 98.
Yeah. And then in some prairie spots, you'll get some Nickelback coming through.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they hit those home because they're filling the Canadian content. And, you know, there's a lot of rockin' bands. I mean, there's the Trade-Offs in Iqaluit. There's Cypress in Edmonton. You know, Sky Wallace in Toronto. Like, people are rockin', man. It's, yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah. Now, it's... I do like the idea of woodshedding that you're talking about, of like going in and spending time.
I don't think there's enough woodshedding in Vancouver.
Well, that's what I was going to say is like, I was going to ask if you saw that here. Clearly you don't, but like the thought of going away and like honing something for a little bit before you show it to everyone is like when you're in a city like Vancouver or Toronto where everybody's expecting something now, like it's, I will make one thing and, like, make it as good as I can, but I have to do it quickly and then I have to get it out and then, like, push that. I feel like there's not a lot of, like, development in larger metropolitan cities. It's, like, it's really hurting.
Yeah. I think the other thing about Vancouver, too, is it's still kind of transient in some ways. A lot of university students will come in and they'll, you know, they'll be hustling their music while they're studying at in town, and then they'll have to leave and go back home, wherever that is. And so you get a lot of people rolling through, and then you get some people who are trying to just hustle and get their content out regularly. I mean, you do get people who grind away and really have some good talent,
sure.
Who, you know, like hit those open mics, hit those regular performances, but, you know, it varies. It's hard to say. And, you know, a lot of the people who are grinded out music are either one side or the other in Vancouver. So they're either really young or they're, you know, older, like, you know, pushing 30 type of thing, if not more. And so you don't see a lot of people who are just focusing solely on the music in that sense. I mean, there's a lot of great Vancouver artists. That's part of the reason why I made this playlist, because there are just so many talented ones. And it was amazing. I put a call out and said, like, hey, who should I play on my list? And just, like, a slew of bands who were just like, yeah, man, I'm so glad you're doing this. Thanks for promoting local artists. These are the people you should plug.
One person even said actors. I was like, if I friggin' hear one more one more person hype up actors for all the accolades they deserve, I will continue to play them on the show.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the playlist, we should keep going and play the next one here on the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, guest curated by Wes of Zulu Panda. What's up next? I think Chase the Bear.
So these guys are really cool. I think they got roots in Fort St. John originally, but they've been hustling in Vancouver and Victoria quite a bit. And this song is a retro jam that I really enjoy. It's called Home.
'cause I don't think that I do.
Grenfell by Fernwood here on the Vancouver Mixtape. Another one of Wes's selections. What can you tell us about Fernwood?
Oh, man. So before I was in Zulu Panda, I was in a variety of other bands. But back in the day, my old buddy Mike Fisher, he and I used to jam out in a band called RKO. And before that, World's Last Telegram in Victoria. And so Mike just moved to Vancouver from Victoria, like just moved. And the guy is solid. He knows his grunge. He knows his rock and roll. And this is his solo project. It's really cool. And it's called Grenfell. And yeah, he's wading in the waters again. You know, rocking out with the best of them.
It's always tricky to step back in after a bit of time away or a period of inactivity to like,
yeah,
get back into it, do the reps, and like
get the band
back together, as it were.
Book the shows.
Yeah. I mean, it's no Zulu Panda, but Grenfell is pretty amazing.
Speaking of Zulu Panda, we talked about it earlier. You've got a new album coming out.
Yeah, and this one's really cool. This next song we're going to play is it's got more of a disco vibe to it. And it's called Amy Don't Play Me, and it was produced by Winston Housechild, who's really well known for local Vancouver productions in particular.
Yeah. And the record's coming out on the 15th, you said?
15th of November, Our Town Cafe.
Record number 4 or 5 for you, isn't it?
I think this will be 5, ridiculously enough.
That's wild. Did you ever in your wildest dreams think that you'd be churning out albums at the clip that you are?
No, man. I did a solo album in Victoria, and then I moved to Vancouver, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do 3 studio EPs. And then I just decided to dive in because I was like, I only have one life, and I'm going to enjoy myself. So
might as well.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's get to this track. Amy, Don't Play Me. A disco-tinged
debut
number.
Yeah, this
debut
is the first time it's ever been heard by
debut
a human
on
ears.
The Vancouver Mixtape.
Amy, don't play me. Tell me the truth. You're the one who knows where she's going to. And Amy, yeah, she's a friend. But if she's cheating on me, you know it's got to end. It's got to end. It's got to end.
got there 100 times before. She stared me in the eyes, said nothing's going on. That she never lied. I might be wrong, but it's seen me inside, and I think you know it too. She's got another guy. If you don't blame me, tell me the truth. You're the one who knows where she's going to. She's your friend, but if she's cheating on me, you know it's got to end. It's got to end. It's got to end. But I catch her here and there. She forgets she's not alone. When she gets a text and she smiles at her phone, her eyes get wide, her face begins to blush. She's playing with her hair. She's typing in a rush. Amy, don't blame me. Tell me true. She's a friend, but if she's cheating on me, you know it's got to end. It's got to end. It's got to end. You say you're not involved, but she claims to have been with you every night this week and last week too. And when she's headed out, dressed to the nines, showing that much skin, that's a warning sign. Baby, don't blame me. Tell me true. The jealous type, she's had a toll of me, left a mark of me. Don't you give me only hype. I'm begging Amy, please tell me what I need.
Time, 'cause baby, I'm the nickel and you're the dime. I'm the nickel.
Girls Cause Car Accidents by Trophy Dad. You're listening to it on the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM. Playing the best of the best.
Oh, yeah.
Music from BC and beyond. Although I guess Sky Wallace falls under.
Oh, yeah. Right. She's from Gibson. She's
from
she's,
BC. Yeah.
Absolutely.
These fellas are from Victoria. I played a show with them at Lucky Bar not too long ago. Yeah.
And you were praising, is it the singer's
oh,
mullet?
Yeah. Neville had a great mullet. He cut it off because I think he dressed up as Detective Hopper or Officer Hopper from Stranger Things for Halloween. There.
You know, but, cutting your hair for a Halloween costume is like real dedication.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could. I mean, I have long hair, so it's a bit more of like a commitment to cut it, I guess. But I could never. We could never just snip it off for
would
Halloween.
Would you ever flirt with the idea of losing the beard for a costume? Or does every costume have to be beard related now?
Yeah, it would pretty much have to be wear a mask or something like that.
Yeah.
Pikachu with a beard.
Pika beard.
I did Finn the Human. I guess that was the last costume I did before I grew the beard. And ever since then,
Adventure Zone Finn?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Adventure Time, yeah.
Adventure Time, gosh.
Although Adventure Zone could be the sequel.
Well, there's actually a actual play Dungeons & Dragons and now other role-playing game podcast called The Adventure Zone that I listen to all the time.
It's very good. Yeah. Would recommend.
Maybe a spiritual sequel to Adventure Time, but not really at all.
So, just to stay on the beard for a second.
Sure. Yeah.
I've been struggling for a year to grow what I have now. And this is the longest it's ever been. When did you start? And when, like, what was your strategy? Because, well, dear listener at home,
yeah, Wes, I have a pretty robust beard.
Wes
so.
Has got a beard.
Yeah, so I started growing a beard, I guess, December of 2013, and I've trimmed it a number of times since then. But the biggest thing is I just, you know, make sure it doesn't go every which way, and I keep, you know, trimming it down, so, you know, get rid of those stragglers. And the other parts grow in over time. It's just one of those things. I've been growing a beard since I was 14, so it comes pretty naturally to me.
A lot of practice.
Yeah.
You don't have to think about it. You don't have to will the hair out of the follicles. Like, come on.
When I was 14, I had a like brown facial hair, and now it's like beet red. It's crazy.
Wild how our bodies change as we age.
I really couldn't have done facial hair. Like I can barely do it now. But like as a 19-year-old,
I had a
like,
pretty greasy mustache. Did you ever see Kenneth Branagh in Hamlet?
Oh my god, yes.
So he had this like little mustache thing, and so I had that with a little soul patch and stuff for a little while. It was prime, you know, 17-year-old Wes. He was a cool cat.
Amazing.
And not that I'm encouraging you to do this, but you should know that if you just went just the mustache, like that would like what you've got right now.
It's a pretty good wide herp. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. You can be such a great old man.
Yeah. No, I told myself I'd get rid of it when it went white, so we'll see how it goes. But
but imagine if it when it gets gray.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah, man.
Should we move on from the beard chat? Was it Vic?
Let's do Vic Horvath next. Yeah, sure. So Horvath. This is another Victoria artist who actually just passed away recently, and they were so talented, and I almost had the opportunity to play a show with them, and I really regret not pursuing that opportunity because just so much talent came out of this person. So Vic Horvath,
Shiny Shotguns is the track.
As I say. I'm a tumbleweed, heart smashed in prairie. Polish shotguns gleam, keep them out of sight. Out of drunken droves, I won't fight or fall.
Save the Frogs by Danger Tree off their record Might As Well Be Dancing, the final selection that Wes has made in the Zulu Panda curated Vancouver mixtape.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. That was Danger Tree, Cale Beaudry. Amazing. He's on Salt Spring now.
Yeah, it's close enough to Vancouver. We'll count it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming and doing this with us, spending the hour sharing
your favorite local music with us. Usually that's our job, so it's nice to have someone else come in and do it for us.
You get a bit of a different perspective. So it was great chatting about all the stuff you got coming up and the things that you didn't
Yeah.
Have, so.
Well, you guys got to come out to my next show. It's November 15th at Our Town Cafe at Main and Broadway. It's going to be a hoot. Things kick off 7:30. It should be fun.
And that's right in our neck of the woods. So
free show.
Well, even better. We'll see you there. And we'll see you, the listener, there and also here next week on the Vancouver Mixtape. Bye.
This is Bird Note. It's a wistful moment when your backyard swallows or bluebirds depart each fall, like the tree swallows we're hearing now. Still, it's a comfort to know you provided a nest box for them to raise their young.